The three-letter word that you call when injustice has occurred is dad. Dad, your less favored offspring is acting according to their less favored nature. Dad, it's the name that you call when you encounter anything with more than four legs or anything with less than two legs. Dad. Yes, what do you need? Over there, look! What? What is it? It's a spider! No, it's just like a little piece of fuzz or something. Oh, okay. Dad, it's the name that you call when you need a trip update, and the update you got 5 minutes ago isn't cutting it anymore. Dad, are we there yet? No. Dad, the name you call when you're stuck. Dad, I'm broke down. I need help. Dad, it's the name you call when something explodes. Dad! Now, I haven't had that one happen before. I don't think, anyway. Maybe my dad would beg to differ, but... But I do remember one time we lived in Indiana, and I was dating Isabel at the time. My sister was having a hard time. She lived down in Peoria, Illinois, and she was just kind of just going through a rough time in life, and she didn't have her family close anymore. We lived 3-4 hours away, and so... I just wanted to go and encourage her, you know, just give her a hug, lift her spirits. So my plan was I was going to drive down there overnight, and I was going to park in her driveway where she was staying, and I'd be there in the morning when she walked out the door, and I'd give her a hug, and I'd say, hey, I just want you to know that I love you. And so it was a great plan. It really was. But, you know, just like our plans today, sometimes... You know, the greatest plans of mice and men, they often go awry. So what happened was I got about 45 minutes from my sister's place, and the car broke down. 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. Who did I call? Dad. He wasn't doing anything, right? Dad, can you come get me? Yeah, he sure came and got me. And guess what? We still made it in time to tell my sister we loved her. Dads are pretty awesome. But you know, in preparing for this message, the question I was wanting to think about and ask is, what is a father? What is a dad? And the reality is, fathers fill lots of positions, right? They are different things. The first thing dad is a source. He's a source of life. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Not only does God our Father provide us life and we live for him, but also our earthly Father has a big part in providing us life. And then we also think of Christ as the one who gives us eternal life, right? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so father is a source of life. That's part of being a father. It's also not just a source of life, but also a source of identity, right? Where we get our sense of who we are. We see that in the aspect of God, our Father in heaven, Genesis 1:27, the creation event says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. When God looks at us, it reminds him of himself. He made us in his image, right? When God looked at all of his creation, he was very fond of his creation. But when he looks at humanity, when he looked at Adam and Eve, he said, this is very good. And in the same way, when we bear children, right, they look like us, right? They bear our image. And, you know, the Boyle name, it's not hard to recognize a Boyle, right? We bear the image of our parents. You know the old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree? It's true. And then in our Christian life, we also have this idea that we are to bear the image of Christ. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Right? We have this new life with this new image that we are being made into, and that is the image of Christ. So a father gives us life, he's a source of life, he's a source of identity, and he is also a source of provision, right? We know that the earthly father is to provide for his family. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Right? Why is he worse than an unbeliever? Because even an unbeliever would provide for his own children. Right? And so if you're not even willing to provide for your own children, not only have you denied God, but you're worse than an unbeliever. And so a father is to provide for his family, for his children. But our Heavenly Father also provides for us. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 6, it says, every commandment which I command you today, you must carefully observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember the Lord your God. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And so he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers. That man not alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you, and therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. The reality is that we don't just live on bread alone, right? We live on what God tells us to do. It's the very source of life. He provides us not only the manna which we need, but also the direction, the words that we need to live by. So a father is a source, a wonderful source. And I know for most of us, it was the source that we went to when we had problems in life. Father is also not just a source, but he's also one of our closest examples, right? Every father provides an example. Ephesians 6, 4 says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The father is one who trains his children. And we are to train them according to what the Lord says. Okay, I'm being told to move. Is this far enough? I know I've said this before, but remember my pastor in Kansas City, he said, everybody has a role to play, right? And we could apply this to fathers. Every father teaches their children something, right? And for some of us, it's to be a good example of a bad example, right? And maybe that's what your father was. Maybe he was a good example of a bad example. And I know personally, in some areas of my life, I've failed, right? And I've shown my kids, hey, this is what you shouldn't do. Hopefully that's not the entirety of my ministry towards my children. But the reality is, we as fathers, earthly fathers, are not perfect. And you heard that in Annabelle's letter to me, or words to me. But, you know, the reality is my kids often tell me that they have another father who's better than me. And they say that quite endearingly, I'm sure. But it's true, right? And I am so thankful for that. And part of, and I don't want to steal my closing because this is kind of my closing, but part of my goal is to get them to follow that guy more than me, right? I want them to love him, their father in heaven. And I want them to look to him more than they look to me. Not only do our earthly fathers provide us training for our life, but our heavenly Father also provides us training for life. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, that means discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. And now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. And nevertheless, and this is the key, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. If we are willing to be trained by the experiences of our life and allow God into our hearts and to train us and teach us, then that correction provides a peaceable fruit of righteousness. But sometimes we harden our hearts in rebellion. And then we just become more hardened against God, more hardened against our Father. Now, my sister Kathy, she always reminds me of this one time, right? Now, I don't even know if it's true anymore. I've heard it so many times. It might not even be true, but it might also be true. But there was this one time when her and I were in the living room, and I'm sure she was folding the laundry, and I was not. That's the way the story goes. And I somehow knocked down all the clothes off the couch. I mean, does that sound like me? I mean, I just kind of have a hard time believing it, but that's what she says, and she is a few years older than me, so, and my memory's not really all that great. So anyway, Mom comes in, and she is very upset because she spent time folding all this laundry. All the laundry's on the floor, and Mom is not happy. And so Mom says, Kathy, you are getting a spanking. And Kathy says, Mom, can I tell you something? And she says, no, you cannot tell me something. You can tell me something after you get your spanking. And so she gets her spanking, and then she's like, okay, what did you want to tell me? It was Michael that did it. I didn't do it. And so to this day, she reminds me that I took your spanking. And the reality is, sometimes as earthly fathers, when we chasten our children, we make mistakes, right? That's what the verse says. We had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more be readily to be in subjection to the Father of spirits and lead and live? For they, our earthly fathers, for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. And the reality is, as parents, we don't always know the right time to discipline our children, the perfect way to discipline our children, right? We just do what seems best to us, and that's the best we can do. But God knows our hearts, and we must be willing to be subject to Him. We must be willing to obey Him. He is our Heavenly Father. So fathers provide us training for life, not only in the words they speak, not only in the discipline that they provide, the admonishment, but also in their testimony, right? The greatest way that your father trained you was by living his life. You saw it. You saw what he was about. You knew what was important to him because you knew what he did, right? Thomas Jefferson said, "Do you want to know who you are? Act. Your actions will delineate and define you." And we have seen our fathers act. We know what they're about. We know their faults. We know their strengths. We know their weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 11 says this, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." I want to read that part one more time. "For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And now all these things happen to them as examples, and they were written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." Here's the reality. We have in the Bible written down for us examples of people who had great faith and did amazing things and lived for God. And we have examples of people who failed miserably. And both of them are examples to us, right? In your life, maybe you had a father who failed miserably, or maybe you had a father who did wonderful things for God. Either way, those are examples for us. Not to repeat their failures or their mistakes, but to learn from them, to be trained by them. The third thing a father is, and this is kind of really what I wanted to drive home today, a father is an object of devotion. A father is an object of worship. And I picked devotion instead of worship in my notes, but we worship our fathers. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in a good way. We worship our fathers. How do we worship our fathers? We serve them, right? The Bible tells us, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And so we learn to serve our fathers. And we are taught in our Christian walk to learn and to trust and serve God, right? That's what we are trying as fathers to teach. That's what we're instructed to do in Deuteronomy, right? As parents, to teach our children to serve God. Philippians 2, 19 through 22 says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send to Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, speaking of Timothy, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. And here Paul is talking about how Timothy had served with him, serving God, but serving under Paul, right? Doing what Paul wanted him to do, allowing Paul to direct his steps, allowing Paul to tell him and teach him what he ought to do. And so as children, we serve our father. And he is an object of our devotion. Now you might say, yeah, but we didn't do it on purpose. We had to, right? Like it wasn't our choice. We got big trouble if we did it. Well, that's true too. But we do learn to serve our fathers. And then as we grow older, right, as we learn from them, we begin to imitate our fathers, right? We do what they do. Throughout Scripture, we see examples of, you know, wherever, whatever the father did, that's what the children did, right? Whatever line of industry that they were in, that's what you became, right? And that's really the most of humanity has been that way for a long period of time. It was just not that long ago that you could just decide whatever job you wanted to pick and go do that. But we often imitate our fathers. Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." Paul in Philippians 3, we just looked at this passage a few weeks ago. He says, "Follow my example and follow other people who are walking the same way as you have us for a pattern." Our father is the most immediate example of what a man is in our life. And we often imitate them. I remember when I was 16 years old, I wanted to adopt a kid. I might have been 15 years old. I wanted to adopt a kid. And I wanted to adopt a kid for one reason only. I wanted to show my dad that I could be a better father than he. Maybe I was the one that knocked those clothes off the couch after all. I really did. I thought, man, I could teach him something, you know, if I had a kid and he could watch me, you know. But it was, I don't know, it was probably 4, 5, 6, 10 years ago. I don't know. I'm getting pretty old these days. I remember telling my dad, I wrote him a Father's Day card, and I said, "Dad, if I can be half the dad that you were to me, then I will be doing my children a great blessing." You know, with age comes a little bit of wisdom, and I realize that my dad is a wonderful, amazing dad. And I needed to learn from him, not he from me. Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." Just like a child follows his father, right? Imitates his father. We should be ones that are imitating God. And we have that example of Christ who is set forth, and we have the written word that tells us about him so that we can follow in his footsteps. And the last thing that I wanted to say about how we admire our fathers, how we follow them, is they are who we desire to please. We have a natural desire to please our fathers. And that is such an amazing responsibility. We naturally want to please our fathers. We want their approval. Sometimes we want it more than anything in the world, to just have dad's approval. We desire God's approval. It says Philippians 3:13-14, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul is saying, hey, I don't care about the past. I care about the future. And my purpose and goal and the sum of my life is to please my Father. I want that more than anything in this world. I want to please my Heavenly Father. And that should be our goal. But we also have this natural desire to please our earthly fathers. It reminds me of the verse in Genesis chapter 27, verses 38. After Jacob had snuck in and stole not only the birthright, but he stole, what did he steal? He stole the blessing, right? He stole the blessing. He got the hairy arms. He brought the stew in, right? And right after he left, who comes in? Esau. He went out and killed the game. And what did he say? Isaac said, I already gave the blessing to your brother. And Esau responded with this, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, oh my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And I want to remind us fathers, let us not forget to bless our children. When they do what is right, let us not forget to know that they have our approval. It is so important to them, it should be important to us. Spend the time with your children, train them, and then encourage them by approving what they are doing when they do what is right. Bless them and teach them to seek God's blessing more than anything else in this life. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you have given us this tremendous thing, fatherhood. And for those who have the privilege of serving in that position, what an amazing responsibility. The reality is, Lord, you are the perfect father. You are the one who shows perfect love. As humans, we have only to demonstrate a reflection of who you are. Our children do look up to us. In many ways, they worship us. They want to be like us. They like us. And Lord, it's our job to take that admiration and turn it to you and teach them not to be dependent on us or to look to us for the source of strength in their life, but to teach them to look to you, their true Father, and to teach them to lean upon you, to learn from you, and to see that we, even ourselves, we look to you and follow you. You are our Father in heaven. So, Lord, I pray that each one here this morning would think of you as their father. Lord, yes, we admire our earthly fathers. Yes, we are thankful for them. We're thankful for the example that they've given to us. Lord, even those who have made mistakes in the past, we can see that they provided something that we can learn from. We don't have to follow down that same road. We can be thankful for what they've done in that they've taught us not the way to do things. But Lord, in so much that they have taught us what is good and right, we should be thankful. But we should not put our hope in them. We should not look to our earthly fathers as the source of our life. Because it is you who are the source of our life. It is you who are the judge of our life. And it is you who wants to save us and redeem us. No matter how hard I try, I can't make my children good. But you can change their hearts. You can provide the way of salvation, at which that heart which is rebellious and broken can be made new and turned around from serving themselves to serving the greatest cause of all. Your cause, the cause of love and peace and goodness. So, Lord, I do want to pray for our fathers. I do want to thank you for them. I want to pray for our children. Lord, that you would work in their hearts. Lord, that as we do our best to discipline them and to instruct them, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come into their hearts and convict them of their sin and where we fail, Lord, that they would learn righteousness from you. Lord, that you would teach us to be good people, people of love in thankfulness and gratitude. So, Lord, we thank you this morning for your good, good love for us, your deep, deep love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.